Hey guys, I can't wait for you to meet on this podcast David Miller. He is amazing. So he has a company called Flow Gardens. And the really great thing about this conversation is, well, A, I never talked about cannabis on this show before and the benefits of cannabis, but also the business of cannabis, which is very interesting. And I wanted you guys to hear it because he talks a lot. I mean, this guy is from MIT and he knows what he's doing. He has a partner who knows exactly what he's doing, but he talks about entrepreneurship and, you know, how you can put on your CEO hat and think about business in a different way and be successful. So I thought this was definitely a conversation worth watching again. I watched it when we did it. I watched it afterwards when I was editing, and I had to rewatch it again now because it just was so good. Such a great guy, great energy, great information, super smart. And I love his take on the cannabis business. And really, you know, I think this would be a great conversation for you guys to really kind of sit back and say, wow, okay, maybe this is something I've been thinking about as well. Don't exactly know how to do this, but I think he gives so many great golden nuggets that you're going to really, truly love this conversation. So let's do this.
How does one scale a business? How does one run a small business, you know, like a well-oiled machine, as far as people, as far as growth, operations, the whole nine yards. And one of the most important things I learned there was who, not how. And if you want to do something and you want to do something well, you just surround yourself, obviously, with talented people, right? Yeah. People on the bus, yeah. Right? Still on the right bus. But if you don't necessarily need to know how to do something, if you know someone who knows how to do it.
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so excited that you are here. I am, first of all, wanting to thank all of you. We have hit over 100,000 downloads, and it's only because of you and the people that you are and the amazing community that we have built here. And you know, I go around this amazing planet finding these amazing humans to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today we're going to have a conversation I have never had before, so I'm really excited. We are joined right now with David Miller. He's an authority on several crucial aspects of the cannabis industry. So David is a key figure in the cannabis world, and he co-leads this innovative company, Flow Gardens, with indoor cultivation with Eric Meltzer. And what I'm really loving about this is I don't know anything about this. So David's expertise spans on three pivotal areas: cannabis growing and cultivation, uncovering the health and wellness benefits, and of this incredible plant, right? The ones we used to grow up with and hide all the time. Not do it so nobody would know. But now there's a lot of health and wellness benefits that have come out to that. And also the intricate day-to-day operations of what it is to have a cannabis business. So join us on this engaging conversation with David, because I have no idea what we're going to talk about, David. I know nothing about this, but I'm really, really excited to get into it because I have been growing a lot of the audience that's been in the health and wellness space on Straight Talk. So this is going to be really powerful. So David, first, I'd like to know a little bit more about you. So who are you with your cool little sweatshirt going on here? Who are you, David?
Wow. Well, first of all, thanks for the kind introduction. I have a lot of high expectations to deliver on here. Thanks for having me, Nina.
I'm glad you're here. So tell me who you are, David. Tell me a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah. I'm 40. Gosh, how old am I? I'll be 43.
That happens after 40, let me tell you.
Yeah, right. I'll be 43 in a couple of weeks. You know, I was born and raised in East Tennessee. Graduated from the University of Tennessee, managed money for Tennessee Valley Authority whenever I was in the business school, and had just a silly little stroke of luck where we convinced Warren Buffett to buy a company out of Knoxville for, I think, it was about $1.8 billion at the time in around 2002. Wow. And then, so I got jazzed up about finance and business. I moved to Atlanta, worked for corporate America for 5 years in operations, compliance, sales, and then started my own company in 2008 during the financial crisis. Best time to start. And built that company over the course of about 15 years and sold it a couple of years ago. And kind of really the catalyst for me selling it was living a purpose-driven life and, you know, finding meaning beyond money and, to be in alignment with that, I really felt like I needed to do something that I had more purpose other than, you know, crunching numbers and making money. So I moved into the cannabis space, which is, you know, where I've been for the past several years. And that's me. I have a lovely wife of 15 years, almost 16, and then a mixed household of one adopted daughter / cousin, and then three sons ranging from 22 wow. all the way down to 8.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about that, though. I want to touch a little bit on the purpose-driven thing, right? Because I think a lot of people, at least a lot of people that I speak to, are going through that change right now in their life where they're just like, you know, there has to be more than this. And I think that after, you know, all of the shutdown and everything a few years ago, a lot of people have shifted their thinking of what it means to have money, create money, you know, whether they are just wanting to do something deeper, be more with family, that kind of thing. So was there like a moment for you that something that happened that said, I can't do this anymore, I need more purpose?
Yeah, there was, but there wasn't. Kind of like Lao Tzu says with the Tao Te Ching, you know, resistance builds greater resistance. And, you know, I found myself constantly fighting on a higher level, not with anybody specifically, but more so internally fighting with the career I was in, because I wasn't pleased. Things weren't going well. From a mental health perspective, the financial and business success was going great. And so I just started taking small steps, like how do I, you know, better myself so I can get through this, you know, internal conflict or funk that I'm in, you know, going from working with a Hindu priest and deep meditation to, you know, holistic foods to, you know, alternative modalities with medicines. So that process took me about 4 years to figure out, like, you know, there needs to be a major shift and change in your life. So we moved from Atlanta to Tennessee after that whole kind of 4 to 5 year period transition. But there wasn't like one thing that said I'm done.
Yeah. I think it's always like that, though, right? Life is about a journey. And sometimes, you know, it's good, though, that you were intuitive enough to say, you know, something's off here and I need to do something about it. You know, a lot of people will continue having that nagging feeling, but won't do anything about it. Right. They just could continue with the rigmarole in their life and wondering why they're not happy. At least you stopped and paused and said, OK, something's got to shift. So let me try shifting some things. So that's kind of interesting. Right. Because then you go from that into, you know, finding yourself in the cannabis world. Right. So what was that for you? Like, what was it that drew your attention to that? Especially, I know that Flow Gardens, you know, you guys talk a lot about the health and wellness space, right? So talk to me a little bit about getting into the cannabis world. Like, what does that look like? What did that mean to you? Because I know that I believe it's a really rapidly growing industry, right? I've never had anyone on the show kind of talk about that before. So I'm really interested in what that looks like.
Yeah. So that the moment I decided that I was, I needed to find a new pursuit and career, I remember specifically where I was. I was meditating in my closet and it came to me. So after it came to me, I was like, is this really what I want to do? Is like, where's the purpose? Why did I decide this? And I think the main emotions around it was me seeing my best friend discovered he had stage 4 colon cancer in his early 20s, lived for 6-7 years, fought it, and then eventually passed away. So I saw his use of cannabis. change his life in a lot of different ways. And then also some, you know, PTSD and mental health issues within family, where I've seen quite a bit of difference. That was the catalyst for, you know, getting into the industry. And what was the second part of the question, or did I miss that?
No. I just wanted to know more about, like, what was the motivation for you to get into the cannabis world, but also what does that look like, right, as an entrepreneur, to get into this space? Because I believe there's a lot of regulations around this space, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it wasn't that easy. So I just wanted to see, as an entrepreneur, like, what does that look like for you? Like, if someone's listening and would like to maybe reach out to you and like talk about what that looks like, what does that look like to get into the cannabis space as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So the approach, that's a great question, Nina. So the approach that I took, I was in an entrepreneurial master's program, just graduated last year from MIT. And, awesome. You know, one of the topics that we studied, as it was a group of CEOs, and, you know, we were basically focusing on how does one scale a business? How does one run a small business, you know, like a well-oiled machine, as far as people, as far as growth, operations, the whole nine yards. And mm-hmm. one of the most important things I learned there was who, not how. And if you want to do something and you want to do something well, you just surround yourself, obviously, with talented people, right? Yeah. People on the bus, yeah. Right? Still on the right bus. But if you don't necessarily need to know how to do something, if you know someone who knows how to do it. So what I did was, I was, you know, actually after I got done meditating, crazy how it works, that one specific session, I called my brother and told him, and he said, hey, you know what, you need to talk to this guy called Eric Melzer. He's like, I've known him for 20 years. He knows his stuff. He's, you know, you just need to go up to Tennessee and see what he's doing. So, you know, he has been in the space. He knows the ins and outs. So that's, you know, for any entrepreneur getting into a new business or a new endeavor, it's, you don't have to know how to do everything, because that's near impossible.
So good. So good.
I could obviously play my strengths from my background, being a little more structured and in the financial field. And that's where, you know, the crazy compliance that you'd referenced, Nina, with the FDA, with the Department of Ag, with the FDA, with the DEA, you know, all these different rules and regs, and federally, you know, that we have to follow, you know, that part, you know, that complements, and that makes, you know, makes it a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, that's such great advice too, right? The who, not how. I think, you know, one of the things that I've realized with a lot of entrepreneurs is that, I think, is the mistake that a lot of us as entrepreneurs make in the beginning, is we think we need to know everything. And then when you don't know everything, what happens is you kind of get stuck in your own head, right? Because you just, you can't seem to figure things out. And you're spending so much time trying to figure something out that somebody else has an answer for. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool. So when you met David, so were you already like exploring the thought of going into cannabis, and that's how that happened? Or when you met, I'm not David, when you met Eric, was that when you decided, you know, this is kind of like a space I do want to like try out?
Yeah. I mean, it happened real quick. I decided I wanted to go into cannabis first. And then it just, you know, that conversation with Eric happened extremely quick. And, you know, one of the things in being a seed investor, since probably around 2013 or 14, is that whenever I invested in companies, I didn't really pay attention to their pitch deck at all. I didn't pay attention to what the company did other than the purpose and on a high level. I really, really looked at the psychological and emotional profile of the entrepreneur. And was their heart in the right, you know, did they have conviction in what you did? And there's like, you know, nonverbal communication there that I think people can only gather and assimilate through experience. that tell you if you know, if any science to it, you know, what the science is to saying, hey, is this a good fit? And whenever I met Eric, one, I knew his heart was in the right place. Two, I was passionate about it. And three, I felt like that aligned with, you know, the direction that I wanted to go.
That's so good.
But earlier, Nina, for the entrepreneurs or other people that are listening, you know, I do not have things figured out. You know, I've made more mistakes than anyone. And really, I feel like knowledge and wisdom is experiencing mistakes and failures. So those first 15 years, my first business that I built and sold, you know, making those $5,000-$10,000 mistakes here and there and quite frequently, you know, you learn from those and you learn what not to do. So, you know, just jumping in head first and with the right people and having a plan is part of it.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's such good advice. And so what made you not give up though? Like let's talk about your first business for a second. So you got into it, you had a lot of mistakes, a lot of big mistakes, according to what you just said, $10,000 mistakes, who knows how much more, right? What made you stick with it though? Because a lot of people think that if something's not working out, like right away, they just want to like bail, like they just want to, you know, like get out of the business. And I feel like sometimes, at least for me, I feel like I have to reach the goal first before I just give up, you know? So what was that for you as a business person, as an entrepreneur? And I'm sure that, you know, Flow Gardens sounds like an amazing adventure, but I'm sure you've hit a lot of walls here too, right? Because that's life, you hit walls. So what helps you as an entrepreneur put on the right thought process to help you keep going, to help you say, you know, no, there's something here. We can solve this problem.
Well, from a personal standpoint, you know, how do we keep going? And then two, I can say how we kept going from a team standpoint. You know, I feel like discipline, integrity, and grit are one of the three main components to being successful. I'm not necessarily against, but I'm not a huge fan of motivation. People are always looking for motivation here and there. Motivation may get you started, you know, which is good. So you do need motivation for that in a sense. Maybe it's internal or maybe someone motivates you, but motivation doesn't keep you going. You know, it's those days when you wake up when you're tired and you don't want to do it, whether you're working out or business or taking your kids to school, you know, whatever the process is, it's just having that internal grit and discipline. That's hard to teach. You know, someone, I want to say they either have it or they don't, but like discipline is built over time through persistence and hard work. And then just from a team perspective, how do we get through the everyday trials and tribulations? It's as simple as it sounds. It's communication. There's never enough communication, and it can always be improved because everybody sees things differently and, you know, through a different lens. So it's, you know, it's just teamwork and communication.
That's so good. And so it sounds simple, but you have to put effort to that, right? Like the team communication and all that. It's about, you know, being transparent, being clear. And when you F up, being that type of leader that is okay with owning their F ups, you know, because a team needs to trust you, right?
Yeah. Trust blew a lot, so, I believe it's say.
Yeah. So tell me about, now you're in Flow Gardens. So tell me about Flow Gardens. I was trying to get on your site to read a little bit about it, but I like to discover things through the people I speak with. So tell me about Flow Gardens, you know, what you guys are working on, what space you're really like diving into. Is it the entrepreneurship? Is it the health and wellness space? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, Nina. So the purpose of Flow Gardens is cultivating health and happiness through high quality cannabis. So how do we accomplish that? With our business plan of execution is we have an R&D facility that grows cannabis through a lot of different methods, whether it's hydroponically, whether it's living soil. There's a lot of different ways that we do it. And we focus on quality and alternative cannabinoids to therapeutically to benefit the public from a therapeutic perspective.
That's powerful. Now, do you do that? I'm assuming you guys have a lot of products, right? So like, I know that some of the things that I've spoken to people in the past that I've looked at were like gummies or oils or, you know, topical things like that. Are you guys doing that as well, or just the plants, or what does that look like?
I would say about 80%+, if not more, of our sales is the flower, so the bud.
Okay.
We do have, you know, some balms and some other, I guess you could call them like add products, but our main focus mm-hmm. is growing super, super high quality flower with, you know, COA certificate analysis that shows the data behind what's in the flower. So people actually know what they're getting and they understand the cannabinoids and the terpenes and all those words that a lot of people aren't familiar with, but it's pretty simple to break it down. If you have the cold hard facts as to what's in the flower, then you can see whether it's a quality product or not.
How are you using it in the health and wellness space? Like, I know you mentioned your friend, and I'm sorry for your loss on that, because I know that's hard, especially for somebody so young. So I know that cannabis is used a lot in people who are going through cancer. But what other health and wellness areas can this be used in?
So I guess it was the first or second week of December in 2022 when the government approved the promulgation of it was called the Marijuana Cannabidiol Research Expansion Act. And the reason I say that is because there's not a lot of proven science and research as to how this benefits. So okay. I can't hold out to it to the public and saying, hey, this, if you have arthritis or you have certain types of, you can't sleep at night or you're having trouble sleeping, this will solve your problem. So all that's right. said, like, there's a lot of research that needs to be done because this plant has been suppressed so long through regulatory or whatever the measures have been. But from client testimonials and consistent feedback, we have 20,000 plus customers, Nina, you know, everything from, they have sore joints with the balm they rub on their elbows or their knees or their neck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they have trouble sleeping, if they have migraines, we've actually gotten a lot of feedback from people that have ADHD, and a lot of it has reverse effects from what they're saying as to the people who haven't been, I guess, diagnosed with it. So there's the health benefits of this plant, whether it's through the cannabidiol CBD, whether it's through the THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, or those alternative cannabinoids mm-hmm. that we focus on. It can be microbial, it can be, you know, analgesic, and I'm probably saying a lot of these words wrong, but there's so much studying that needs to be done. But what is clear is that 40 plus states have approved this plant medicinally, and there are clear medicinal benefits. We need to formalize as an industry what those benefits do, so consumers can be more educated and confident in using the products.
Okay. That's very interesting. I didn't even know it was 40 states that have already approved it. That's really great. I think, you know, once you get the 40, then all of them will come on board eventually. It's just one of those hard things, right? So I'm just wondering once we're done with this show, because I want you to give us how people can look at your products and look at, you know, what you're doing. Can anyone from the states order? Is that not allowed? Like, I don't understand the regulatory complications of that.
Well, I still don't fully understand them, Nina, and I feel like I'm pretty good on the subject. So
fair, that's fair.
Just to follow one of my principles that I need to adhere to, and often fail to sometimes is the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. Is, you know, so we follow that we are our higher order law that we follow is the farm bill. And so we can ship to all states. I think maybe Idaho. There's some compliance issues there, but we can ship to 49 states, and you know, people order online, and we, you know, ship it through United States Postal Service.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, is Flow Gardens also like branching out at all? Like, do you guys have other locations, like where people can buy into, invest into Flow Gardens, or do you have teaching programs? I'm just thinking outside the box. You didn't mention that. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, we're direct to consumer. So we have our main manufacturing facilities here in East Tennessee. And, you know, we have our, like I had mentioned, we have about 20,000 retail customers. And then a couple hundred wholesale customers that own, you know, stores that we'll sell to. So, so yeah, does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was just wondering if Flow Gardens was ever thinking of branching off like in franchises, or, you know, having people learn more about the, like, an educational piece to it, you know, since it's such an industry that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah. I mean, as far as franchising goes, we don't need to bite off more than we can chew right now.
Yeah.
You know, what happens in the future, we're definitely open to expanding in ways that is best for the brand, best for the company, the employees, and is smart. But as far as education goes, we've been working for the past several months on building an education center within our website. So it's slotted to be released here in the next few months. So consumers that have questions on, hey, will this help me sleep, or will this help my pain, or what kind of effects does it have? And just all things cannabis, they can go there and to what we believe is a trusted source and read and learn about it.
That's fantastic. That is so good, because it's something even I've been interested in looking into, but I don't know, you know, what's a trusted place to look and read. And I know that reading and speaking with you, that I trust what you're saying. I trust you as the expert. I've went on to your site. It looks really clean, very well done. So I think that would be a place that I know I would start, and I'm sure that my audience who's listening would start to at least get educated on what, you know, what your products are and how we can utilize them. So that being said, David, before I wrap up and let you go, I do want my audience to know where they can kind of like buy your products, try them, you know more about you, all that stuff. So give us that.
Yeah, just flowgardens.com, Nina, that's it.
That's it, simple. Good. You're so cool. All right, so I'm, say again?
I said, follow that KISS principle. That's what I do.
Yeah. Exactly. No, thank you very much for coming on here and talking about this. It's, like I said, it's not something that I've talked about on my show before. I mean, I've definitely talked to health and wellness experts, of course, and, you know, entrepreneurships and leaders, because that's mainly who listens to the show. But I've never had anybody who actually is an expert in the cannabis industry. And it's a very big industry. It's growing. And you want to make sure it's done well. Right? Because you just don't want it to be just anyone who is selling a crap product or doesn't care about what they're putting out there. So it's super important, especially for people who are ill, right? Like, people are going through cancer. Like I said, I had friends who've gone through cancer who went on cannabis to help them with the pain and the nausea and all of that and help them. Not that we're claiming anything medical here. I'm just saying this is what my experience was. So thank you for that knowledge.
Yeah, thank you for branching out of the Norm podcast and having us on here.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I just love the sweatshirt so much. I'm going to have your son send me one or something. Look at that. Nutella. Yes, rock it. Put a little bit of cannabis in that and you'll sell a lot of it. All right, Nutella. I wasn't sorry. I know you're not sponsoring the show. Just saying. All right, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and David. I knew that this would be a conversation that a lot of you would be having a lot of piqued interest in. So make sure that you go to flowgardens.com and go check out what they have there. I know I'm going to as well. I'm going to check out the products, check out what they do, how they can help me with maybe my insomnia and my pains and all that kind of stuff. So I hope you guys will join me in that. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for hanging out. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.